Now what? Never have the words "what's next" taken on such meaning, right? So as we begin our worship on this beautiful 19th of September, in the holy season of CCU Post Pastor Liz, may I gently turn our faces and our hearts to the holy season of pilgrimage, a journey of CCU becoming whatever is next, built on some firm foundations. The ministry of Pastor Liz, of course, and before her, Pastor Carrie, Pastor Buddy, Pastor Donna Faith. Some of you remember some of those beloved names and maybe even more. So we might even tentatively acknowledge that God has been and continues to be with this community of faith, this gathering of people who come and go and stay and leave and work and play and pray and struggle and listen carefully and find our voice and constantly rediscover ourselves within the amazing legacy of disciples and Presbyterians and followers of Jesus here and around the planet. And as the Apostle Paul said, I know I'm starting the sermon early here, we are members of the household of faith, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being our cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple, a dwelling place for God, who calls us beloved. So, beloveds, welcome to worship. You who are in person and you who have welcomed us into your home or your space. I am Lauren Buck-Medeiros, if you need that reminder, and I joyfully invite us to offer each other signs of peace as I light this candle today, not only reminding us of the presence of Jesus, who was the light of the world, who is the light of the world, but his words to us saying, you are the light of the world. So light and peace and love. Some of you may have read that Bishop John Shelby Spong passed away this week. He has been called one of America's best known spokespersons for a more inclusive, open, and scholarly Christianity, things that we really value here at Christ Church as well. So I'd like to continue our time of worship with his words, which have such meaning for us today. Bishop Spong wrote, "If God is the source of life, I worship God by living. If God is the source of love, I worship God by loving. If God is the foundation, the ground of my being, I worship God by having the courage to be more fully human, the embodiment of the divine." Our opening song for the next few weeks will begin to find an echo in our souls for such a time as this. So let's listen and let's reflect. And those of you at home, you can join in singing as our musicians share with us how firm a foundation. Great words, great hymn. And now it's cakey time. I see some cakey down there. Aloha. And I know there are some, so gather in close to your screens because this time is really for you. And I want to show you a book that I got out of my school library this last week. I don't know if you're familiar with this kind of book. I thought of it because this is a kind of book called Choose Your Own Adventure. Have you ever heard of this kind of book? This is really cool. So this one happens to be about a dog sled in Alaska where it's really, really cold. And what happens in this book, usually in books, you know, you start at the beginning, you flip through the pages, and then you come to the end, and that's the end, right? But in this kind of book, if you know about these Choose Your Own Adventure, you skip all around and you have choices. You get to decide. Okay, like for example, let me just open the page to this. Okay, so they got into this real difficult situation, and the choice is, if I want to follow the other dogs in the path that they're going, I'm going to turn to page 12. Or if I want to stay right where I am because that really feels like where I need to be, I'm going to turn to page 36. What? What's the right answer? You know, sometimes in church we're kind of like, we need to know what the right answer is. No, there's a choice. Okay, what about this one? Over here. Oh my gosh. Okay, so now they're really in trouble, and they've been traveling for so long. These dogs are really, really tired. And, you know, one of them says, you know what? Come on, you got to just keep going. We got to continue searching. If you want to continue searching, turn to page 16, okay? If you want to lie down and just rest for a while, I just need to take a breath. Okay, if you're that person, you turn to page 53. I love this. Oh, my goodness. So some of us might go this way, and some of us might go that way. We might meet up again in another page, but for right now, it's what's calling out to me. Might even be the Spirit of God is saying, this is the path for you. Don't watch those other dogs. They might need to go on, but you need to do this. Then I love this one. Okay, so they come to this place where they have so much hard work ahead. And some of them are very confident, and some of them are very tentative, kind of worried about what's next, okay? So if you think you can pull the sled, turn to page 74. If you don't believe you can do it, nope, can't do this. You turn to page 132. You know, I think we're kind of at that place, people. We're at a choose-your-own-adventure kind of a place. And there are many different things that are going to call out to us and many different ways that we could go, but also ways to be. I think that's one of the things that really attracts me about this genre of literature is that, you know, my agency or my choices are important. And so, you know, this kind of book, it's telling you we get to be the ones that help tell this story. And it's exciting to think about all the different possibilities. And here in church, we like to remember that God is with us in all our choices, no matter what is happening around us. So I bless you, children, and I thank you, and I thank God for giving us, you folks, to be in our family in this great adventure of life. And as our musician friends offer a special song, it's going to remind us that what we're doing right now is important. Not just looking back at what came before, not just jumping forward anticipating what hasn't even happened yet, but gathering in the right now to worship God. And that's certainly a good adventure to be on together. So bless you, Keiki. You help us see the bigger people, see a bigger picture, and make good choices. So amen. Let's have our song.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is a familiar story from Matthew's gospel. Listen to these words of scripture and in them, the Spirit's word to you. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
When we were children, we sang a song about these two guys in Matthew's gospel. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Dottie, you sang it, I can see. She's singing along. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The song ended with a great shout as the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand went splat. It was all rather jolly, yes? But in this day and age, we've seen too many news clips with people standing outside their homes that have been destroyed by a flood or fire or war. Devastated by the loss, the family members clinging to each other. And you realize that what a disaster it is to lose your home like that. So the song in this story feels a little bit insensitive to me right now. Don't get me wrong, we weren't singing about divine punishment when we were singing this song. But I bring this up because there are so many insights that can come when we read the biblical text in our own context, in our specific lived context. You see, I've been thinking about the word recover. As we slowly try to emerge and recover from the various pandemics of our time. We're not there yet, of course. But as we recover, we mustn't recover those things that have been exposed to the light. So we come to this and any biblical text with the realities of where we are. We uncover, we recover, we don't recover. So back to sandcastles. Like most of you, I grew up making great sandcastles at the beach. We've all probably been amazed at some of the exotic sand castles and sand figures and sculptures that take shape on the beaches by young and old alike. There are teams of professional sand sculptors, you know, who travel beaches both here and on the continent, weekend after weekend during the summer months, creating incredible artistry in the sand. In those scenarios, it is perfectly accepted and expected even that within a few hours, the tide's going to come in and everything's going to wash away. Heads up for all the metaphors in here. I think about this metaphor about the impermanence and fleetingness of life and ministries. I think about and appreciate the joy that comes in the moment, in the building of sandcastles, though time and circumstance can certainly change or even destroy my creation. I mustn't let go of the thrill that comes from experiencing those moments of building and creating and shaping and then letting it go. Oh. But there's such a thing as stone castles too, right? And anyone who has traveled through Europe or England and seen the great cathedrals can testify to the beauty and stability of stone castles that last not merely for a few hours, but for centuries or even thousands of years. And there's another metaphor about life, that building stone castles can give the experience of knowing that you are part of a process that is much greater than you are or than this immediate moment. Something that will last for centuries, for eons, for long periods of time. And there's a joy that comes from being part of something larger than yourself or your present circumstances. What you and I do now can be a small part of a grand design is kind of cool. It's a way of seeing life and the way you live your life. Stone castles, strong foundations. Then there's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That leaning bell tower by the Cathedral of Pisa in Italy. The tower was not originally designed to tilt, you know. But it started to lean when they're about on the third floor. And you can kind of see how they tried to self-correct. And the whole tower started sinking down into the soft ground underneath. But guess what? It still stands today. Where's the lesson of if you don't have a firm foundation, it's going to fall? There are things we can do to shore it up. There are things that we can do, and certainly they have, to keep it standing, to keep it from toppling down, and to keep it leaning. Kind of like become its thing. Lots of metaphors in there. So it's with these images and these metaphors in mind that we consider this story in Matthew's gospel. Jesus is at the very close of his Sermon on the Mount, those powerful words from chapters 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus has just finished this incredible teaching about the poor being blessed, the hungry being filled, the grieving turned into joy, and enemies being loved. He's taught about prayer and forgiveness and not judging others. He's laid out the important guidelines for the Christian life. And at the very end of those powerful teachings, he tells this weird story, this parable, saying the person who hears all these teachings and does them, puts them into practice, is like that wise man building a house on a firm foundation on the rock. And when the rain falls and the floods come and the winds blow and beat against the house, it will not fall. Why? Because its foundation is on the rock. On the other hand, the person who hears these words and teachings and does not do them, do you get the difference? It's not two people in two different circumstances. They're both hearing the same story. They're both aware of the same teaching. One does something about it, and the other just says, "That's a nice story, Jesus. You go on and do that." And that second, when the rain falls, floods come, and winds blow and beat on the house, it falls. Because the foundation is sand, maybe I'll add inaction. You know, Jesus used this illustration, which was totally familiar to his audience. The autumn storm season brought heavy rains, powerful gusty winds, torrential flooding from the mountains into the ravines. His listeners can picture each builder's house being pounded by the storm. And with no further explanation needed, the people understood the meaning of this parable, that if we build our life on a good foundation. When the storms of life come, our life will remain intact. If, on the other hand, when the storms of life come on the poor foundation, our life can be shattered into ruins. It won't take much. Pew, splat. Now, for me, this foundation piece invites me to contemplate a few very timely considerations in our present context. Those of you who are visiting, just listen for a while. We can think of these next weeks and months as a time to build on the foundations of what has gone before. We can all also be reminded of the fact that what we do with what we know or what we've experienced or what we believe or trust is not only important, it might be the difference between being part of something solid that can outlast all of us or something fleeting and temporary. You know, I'm not really eager to give a value judgment on either of those. Yet. Because we're on a journey. We're on a choose-your-own-adventure of sorts. Definitely a choose-your-own-attitude, my friends, my beloveds. Hear me out. Even though our church has been through this before, this change of pastoral leadership, it's still an unknown, right? It's still a pilgrimage of sorts. And a pilgrimage is, in its religious context, by definition, a spiritual journey of the heart for renewal and rededication. So many times the truth discovered along the way of pilgrimage may be unexpected or unwanted or unpleasant or interesting or surprising or maybe fun. What's the difference? Same journey. Richard Rohr, the theologian, I love this guy, reminds us that the entire Bible is a pilgrimage in itself, beginning with the perfection of God's creation, to our defiance and rebellion, to our reconciliation. The stories go from a journey of from order to disorder to reorder. And it must happen to all of us. It's not just something to be admired in Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Ruth and Job or even Jesus. So our role is to listen and allow and at least slightly cooperate with this almost natural progression of order to disorder to reorder, comfort to discomfort to what, recomfort? I don't know. Abraham Heschel, a Jewish scholar, described it as creation, chaos, and recreation. I like that too. Today, we continue on this journey of pilgrimage. As a church, as a society, we're doing it too. From order to disorder to reorder, history repeats itself time and time again, and we strive to listen, to allow, and God help us to learn from this progression. You know, our track record as human beings is not always a good one when it comes to the learning part. But as the church, with our foundation built on the rock that is Jesus Christ, we long to do better, right? We live in hope and anticipation of a new world, a new and renewed beloved community, where God sees everything that God created, and indeed, it is very good. What if this season could be a great opportunity for us to practice trust in God and in each other? Trusting in the pastoral search process when that happens, when that time comes. but trusting also, listen to this, that not only can the right pastor be found that's a good fit for this congregation, but flip that around. What do we need to do to be the right place for whoever is called to have a wonderful ministry in our midst? Whew, we got to think about that, friends. A church in transition has the unique opportunity to think about those things that are foundational for us. What are the beliefs and practices that make sense for us? Not the riffraff of, you know, who's going to say this or who's going to do that, but how do we love more completely? What are the things that we hold that create a solid foundation on which any of us could build? Similarly, and this is a little hard, can we honestly look in the mirror to discover what we might do that might be experienced as slippery slopes, sand surfing, or even stumbling blocks to those who might be with us on our journey? We being built into a spiritual structure, can you wrap your mind around that? We here this morning are being built into a spiritual structure, surrounded by a cloud of witnesses of those who've come before us, and in anticipation of those yet to join us. We are being built into something not just useful, not just strong, but glorious. And Christ, the cornerstone, is already in place. So I'm thinking there's an invitation here to choose our next adventure. To invite us to consider the foundation on which we stand and ask, how will I put the rock-solid truth of God's love into action? Not just hearing about it, not just saying good words, Jesus, but what's my role in bringing it to life? How might I see the disruptions as a step toward reorder, recreation? I can't help but end with a reference to the three little pigs. It's another great story about building materials, about trial and error, and ultimately finding safety together. Right? No wagging her fingers at the straw and stick builders. Just come on in and let that wolf huff and puff outside while we, in the sanctuary of each other, focus on those things that bless our souls and that lead us into life. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love that. As we come to our time of prayer, I draw your eyes and your hearts to the floral prayer that Paul Brennan has created in this lovely and meaningful arrangement. Paul writes that these are dedicated to all those families who lovingly care for children not born to them. May God's mercy and peace surround 6-year-old Isabella and assist those now searching for her. Beautiful. Thank you, Paul. And Melissa is inviting us to join in prayer for her friend Donna Chafee, who had a stroke on September 9. She's in ICU at Vassar Hospital in New York. She actually has a blood clot on her brain that is too large to be surgically removed. So we're surrounding that family with our prayers as well. And I want to just remind you that we're trying to collect prayer requests via an email. And of course you can call, the church office is available, our deacons and elders are standing by, but we do have that mechanism for sharing our prayer requests, because that's another thing that we want to be doing for each other during this season. So please join me in prayer. Epule kako. God of the wild and wonderful journey, author of love stories in the world around us, in sand and stone and wind and rain, in words that comfort and words that shake us off our comfortable perches of observation and into the sometimes messy action of being your church. Loving God, you invite us into deeper relationships with one another and new relationships with our neighbors. May we ask hospitable questions to learn more about one another. May we engage gracefully with one another. May we seek connection. May we care for each other and pray for each other and look for new ways to engage in the what's next of our time. Building on foundations, may we strive to bridge differences and celebrate diversity. May we shape communities of authentic welcome and belonging. Checking our foundations, imagining the possibilities, we lean into the questions and open ourselves to your presence in us, among us, and through us. And we wrap our prayer with the words that Jesus gave us to pray with confidence, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we come to the table of our Lord, and this is foundational. It is a table of welcome. It is a table that is spread in churches throughout our world, lest we think we're the only ones doing it. It's a story that is one of remembrance of things gone by, one to celebrate what is right now, and one that equips us for whatever comes in the future. For we remember that Jesus gathered with his friends and took the elements of a Passover meal, took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. And in like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and as he gave thanks, he gave it to them. He poured it out, and he gave it to them and said, Drink of it, all of you. This is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant that's shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for the what's next, to encourage us and to kick us along the way a little bit, maybe, but always in great love. So whatever you have, a piece of cracker or a little communion cup like this with the wafer in the top, we know that God blesses our intentions and this gathering around a worldwide communion table. So as Kalua plays some music, let us thoughtfully and gratefully participate in this meal. Now it's a Lauren thing to say, time for our offering. Yay! Because it really is true that our offering is so much more than money, although money is a good offering. An offering, especially in a time of transition like this, is the, what can I do to help? It's the, who needs support? It's the, gosh, why hasn't anyone called me? Oh, maybe that's God nudging me on the shoulder to call someone else. There are so many ways that we offer ourselves in love, not just to this church, but to the work of love in our world. So, to celebrate all the ways that we give, let's stand as the doxology is played. You may be seated. And I was going to say that one way that we can give is that this we have an upcoming peace offering that Marion has reminded us of in the next few weeks. We can be giving to a special Peace Day offering, and it will be dedicated on World Communion Sunday, October the 3rd. You can donate online, or checks can be made out to Christ Church Uniting with peace offering in the lower left line. So that's another way that we can give. So may I just say right here and right now, with all of you online and you in this beautiful house of worship, CCU, we did a really wonderful job of thanking Liz and sending her with our blessing. We did. So I want to thank you all for the big and small ways that you helped last Sunday especially be such a special celebration and send off. And as we turn the page on this choose our own adventure, or at least as we choose how we will build on the solid foundation before us and commit ourselves anew to noticing and appreciating how God is still speaking to and through all of us, we will of course continue to communicate via our emails and the announcements. There's a virtual gratitude journal. There's the prayer request line, like I said. There's a fellowship suggestion box. There's a Foodland Give Aloha Month starting. So please, you know, keep an eye on the socials, on those emails, and on the ways that we communicate, and be part of the ministry of this church. Next week, we will welcome Connie Mitchell, who knows what direction her message will inspire us to consider, what page it will make us jump to together. For now, let us send ourselves into the world that God loves, assured of the solid foundations on which we build, as our choir sings, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, blood and righteousness." I be here? Or there? Oh. Hey, we made it. We made it. Phew, phew. One down. Thank you all. And thank you for my beautiful lay. I really appreciate your love that you give to me always, and your understanding that this is a tough place to be in, and we're all in it together. So thank you so much. And thank you to those of you at home who hang in there with us. And I love kind of being an indoor-outdoor person and texting and seeing what your chat is. So please continue to participate in that way. We love you. We know you're here with us. And we just want to make sure that you know that we consider you in the room with us. So thank you. So will you join me now in our responsive blessing or benediction? I'll speak and then we'll all speak together. The prophet Jeremiah wrote the words we repeat to send us forth, saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. Plans to give you a future with hope." Amen. Aloha a hui ho.